2 bits, 4 bits, 6 bits a dollar, all for First Lutheran, stand up and holler. Please don't. Not really a good one for the church, maybe the gymnasium. Or how about, give me an F? F. Give me an L? L. Give me a C? C. What's it spell? First Lutheran Church, FLC. I'm glad you didn't join in. It's rally day, so this is kind of like a little bit of a pep rally for the church, so we need a rally day cry. But here's a better one. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. How about the opening sentences of the church? Praise the Lord, O my soul. Let all my inmost being praise His holy name. Those are better rally day shouts in the church. Today, we kick off Sunday school, Bible class, church activities after summertime. And not only do we shout praise and sing praise, hallelujah, we can't sing that enough to God, praise the Lord. But today, I think a rally day is always a time for each one of us as a Christian, a baptized believer, a follower of Christ to look at ourselves and ask a question. This is a good question for a rally day. What am I really doing with the Word of God in my life? What am I really doing with the Word of God in my life? God's Word is what we rally around, not just today, but Wednesday, Sunday, and in our lives every day for that matter. We rally around the Word of God. The Word of God is our foundation, our life. It gives us faith. It builds the church. It's all on the Word of God. So what am I really doing with that Word? And Deuteronomy 6, in this great Old Testament text, God tells us that we are to do 4 things with His Word. The Word of God must be heard. The Word of God must be upon our hearts. The Word of God must be in our homes. The Word of God must be on our hands and our heads. That's what you do with the Word of God. Not just perhaps listen for 10, 15 minutes on a Sunday out of the year. Or whenever. First of all, the Word of God must be heard. Obvious, common sense. What good is there to teach the Word of God or preach the Word of God if there's no one there to hear? What is the first word of Deuteronomy 6? What's the first word? It's there on your bulletin cover too. Hear, O Israel. Hear, pay attention, wake up, listen, concentrate, spiritually digest the Word of God. Hear, O Israel. And in the second reading today, you'll note the early church is described there in all the wonders of the early church. The first thing said about the early church, is they were devoted to what? They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were hearers of the Word. And the gospel lesson today, Jesus says, the wise man hears the Word. You hear it. And then you do it, you live it, you believe it. The foolish man doesn't do that. God shouldn't have to tell us to hear. He's God after all. Whenever God speaks, we should be there to listen, because it's God. And yet God knows that rather than hear, often we will sneer at the Word of God. Is that you? You sneer, oh, what am I going to learn today? Or we veer from the Word of God. I just got other things that are more important than the Word of God. Sorry, God. And so God treats us like little kids. Hear, O Israel! Wake up! Pay attention! I got something to say. I put together a little 5-point quiz today. I just couldn't resist a quiz. I haven't had one for a while, Pat, in Bible class. To help you to examine, have I been a good hearer of God's Word? Do I know God's Word, or am I just one of those that don't know much about it at all? And if you don't, then start learning today. All right, 5 points. If you get all 5 right, you get an A. 4 right, a B. 3 right, a C. 2 a D, 1 and following an F. You don't need to leave church. You just got to repent and come hear the Word. Question number 1, how many books are there in the Bible? This should be as you should know this like you know your spouse's birthday. Although maybe some men don't know that either. I don't know. 66, 39 old, 27 new. Did you get that one right? Are you here? What book comes after the book of Amos? I got some confirmation kids maybe back there, huh? Obadiah. You should be able to rattle off those books in your mind real quick and get to that book. You should know the Word of God. That's two. Number three, how many hours did Jesus hang on the cross? This is the cross. This is our salvation. This is Good Friday. Every Christian should really know how many hours He suffered and died on the cross. How many hours was He on the cross? Six. From 9 o'clock in the morning to 3 p.m. 6 hours. You should know that. Number four, what's the great resurrection chapter of the Bible? Now, you could pick Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the end of those books. This is found in 1 Corinthians. It's called the great resurrection chapter. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Death has been swallowed up in victory. The great resurrection chapter describes our resurrected bodies there. 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. What's the resurrection chapter? We should all know this. It's the resurrection, after all. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Who's four out of four? Final question, who gave us the Gospel of John? It's like asking who's buried in Grant's tomb. Who gave us the Gospel of John? It's not John. It's the Holy Spirit. Maybe I caught you on that one. I'll take John because I'm lenient, right, in my quizzes. Those are easy questions that really, I think the pastor pretty easy questions. Are you a hearer of God's Word? Yeah, if you haven't been, start hearing. Come in contact with the Word of God. Start today. Secondly, the Word of God must be in our hearts, from the ears to the heart. And this is all by the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit. The Word says, "And these words I command you today shall be on your heart. Hear, O Israel," and then from the hearing down to the heart. This means that we are to believe the Word of God, not just know it in our minds or listen now and then, but to believe it in our hearts, to treasure it, to love it, to hunger for it, thirst for it. It's our life, our foundation, to obey it, to live it, to trust it with all of our heart. And that's all by the power of the Holy Spirit, who works through the Word to do it. So the more you hear the Word of God, the more the Holy Spirit's working on you to give this faith and to change your heart. And what exactly does He want to put on our hearts? Well, the whole Word, but we're told here, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Right in those eight words is the gospel right there. Hear what? What needs to be on the heart? The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Two words, you can have a whole sermon on that. Two words that stand out is the word "our." The Lord our God? We sinners can call God our God? He's claimed us as His own? In that word "our" is reconciliation, is the forgiveness of sins at the cross, is the death and resurrection of Jesus. Only by the cross and the resurrection, God's forgiveness, God's reconciliation, can we say that God is our God. He's for us, not against us. He's on my side. He loves me. That's the gospel. The Lord is one. This means a lot. This means that He alone is God. There is no other God. Israel at this time was entering the promised land. And so God's telling them that you're going to face many idols in the promised land. But they're all idols. I'm the only God. But more so than that, when it says the Lord is one, it means the Lord is one in purpose. He's one in will. He's not a wishy-washy God who doesn't know what He wants to do. He's not a moody God who likes you one day, hates you the next day. He's not the type of God who just, "I'll do whatever I want," which was all the pagan gods back then. Our God is one in will, one in purpose. And what is the will of God, the purpose of God? To save mankind. God is one in love for sinners, one in mercy, one in forgiveness, one in grace. You can count on that. Take it to the bank, take it to heaven. And all because of the cross of His Son. Right there's the gospel. May that hit our hearts. May we believe it. God loves me and forgives me. And then, naturally, love. You shall love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. God loves me, then I am to love Him. That's the gospel, the law. That's what the Spirit wants to put upon the heart. I watched a bit of the Republican convention this week. I got kind of a kick out of something the crowd shouted several times. It's kind of funny to me anyway. They shouted several times, "Drill, baby, drill." Remember that? Drill, baby, drill. They're talking about drilling for oil here in America rather than being dependent on foreign oil. Drill, baby, start drilling now. I guess it's a good idea. I don't know. But our shout as a church could be drill, Bible drill. Holy Spirit, drill. Penetrate the heart with your word, with the Holy Bible. Drill, Bible drill. Say it with me. Drill, Bible drill. Spirit, penetrate as the great sword. The law and the gospel to give me faith and repentance. The word of God, it must be heard. It must be upon the heart. Thirdly, the word of God must be in our homes. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. Let's see here. Look along with me here, Deuteronomy 6. Is there any mention of the Sunday school here? Any mention of the Christian day school here? Parents, you shall delegate responsibility for your children's education to the Sunday school and Christian day school. It doesn't say that. Now, praise be to God for Sunday school. Come to Sunday school. Come to Bible class. Send your kids to our day school, the best Christian day school here in town. They're all wonderful. Do them. Send your kids. But parents, never think that you are here to pass on the responsibility of Christian education to a school, to your Sunday school teacher or to your day school teacher. We will help you. We will supplement you. Don't pass it on to pastor confirmation time. Pastor will teach you. I am here to teach. I will help. I will guide. Bottom line is your responsibility. You're responsible here, aren't you? Parents, it says, teach them to your children. And we are told how to teach the Word of God. Teach it diligently. When you wake up, what can I teach my child about the Lord today? Not if I get to that later, I'll get to it because I'm so busy. What can I teach my child today about the Lord? Where to teach? Everywhere. When you walk along the road, when you're in the house, wherever you are, talk about the Lord. When? At all times, when you lie down, when you get up, morning, evening, and every time in between, talk about the Lord every chance. What am I supposed to teach? Teach the law and the gospel. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, Johnny. But be reminded and believe that He loves you with all His heart, mind, and soul, and gave His life to you at the cross. Teach the gospel of forgiveness and love and the law too. God loves you, Johnny. Now you are to love God and love your neighbor. It's very, very important to teach math. You know what's more important? That your kid learn the mercy of God. And that your child learn real math. You want your child to know math? Then may your child know that God counts to zero when it comes to sin. That's the first math to teach your child. When it comes to sin, God counts to zero. Because, child, all your sins were counted against Jesus. There's math for you. We want our children to know science, as if they're going to somehow not have a job if they don't know science. More important than science is that they know salvation in Jesus. Because then they're going to get to heaven. All the science in the world won't get them to heaven. Salvation will in Christ. What do you want for your child? I want my child to know good grammar. Well, you know, my mom and dad didn't teach me the best, did they, Pat? Grammar's important. Yes, we want good grammar. But more important than grammar is that they know the grace of God in Jesus. And either they're a bumbling pastor that can't speak real well, I know Jesus and my mom and dad taught me Jesus, and that's what counts. No computers. Yes, no computers. More important, know the cross. Know the cross. You know, who here is a soccer mom? We have these labels now. Sarah Palin's a hockey mom and proud of it. Got any soccer moms? Little league dads, football dads, these labels that parents have. Yeah, that's okay. Have your kids in sports. I got my kids in sports. Wonderful thing. More important than being called a soccer mom, though, moms, is being called a scripture mom. Because you teach your kids the scriptures. And not just run them around to soccer all the time. And dad's more important than being called a football dad is being called a forgiveness dad because you teach your children the forgiveness of sins in Jesus. And your child knows that whatever he does, he's forgiven. She's forgiven because of the blood of Jesus. And you forgive him too. The Word of God must be heard in our hearts, in our homes. And last of all, the Word of God must be upon our hands and our head. The text says, You shall bind them, this is the words of God, as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, on your hands and on your head. What's this mean? This, I believe, has to do with our Christian witness. The Word of God goes through our ears, to our hearts. We believe it. We treasure it. We know it. We share it with our children in the home. And then we take it to the world. They are to see the Word of God upon our hands and our heads. It's our witness to the world out there. The hands are a symbol of work and service. Meaning that when you work, when you go to your job tomorrow, when you work, people in your workplace should know you're a Christian. And you should show forth the love of God, the mercy of God, the truth of God in how you do your work. Your co-workers know you're a Christian. Ask them. Ask them if they know that you're a Christian, that you go to church, or do you keep that private? And on your heads, the head means speech, your opinions, your viewpoints, your philosophies, how you talk. People should know from how you talk, what you talk about, your opinions, that you're a Christian. You stand up for God. He's your Lord and Savior. Your neighbors and co-workers know you're a Christian by how you talk, what you talk about, what your opinions are, your philosophies are or not. Evangelism is not simply sharing a few canned words with your neighbor. God can work through that. It may not always be a bad idea. God can use that. Evangelism is not simply bringing somebody to church with you. That's a good thing, a very good thing. But evangelism is every day. It's your life, your hands, your head, all that you do, you're a witness for Jesus. Be a faithful witness. We're now in this political season. Who here is liberal? I'm liberal. You liberal, Pastor? I'm very, very liberal. I hope to be liberal. Pat, don't stone me now, okay? Listen up. Who's conservative? Oh, the hands probably go up. I'm proud to be conservative. I'm here to say, as a Christian, we are to be liberal and conservative. Both. And I'm not talking about being wishy-washy and sitting on a fence here. I'm talking about being a Christian and not politics, as you know. We are to be very, very conservative with the truth. We maintain the truth of God's Word. The law and the gospel is God's Word. We don't compromise it or change it for anybody. We conserve and maintain the truth of law and gospel, and we speak it boldly. That's being conservative. But then we are to be liberal. We're to be oh so liberal when it comes to love. We should be liberal when it comes to kindness and mercy and forgiveness, even for the enemy. Liberal when it comes to grace, when it comes to encouraging others. Then we need to be liberal. As God is so liberal with love for us, we are liberal towards each other. I had a man come to my office this week. He is wanting some money or something, wanting to talk. We wanted money, bottom line, but To try to make me like him, he brought me a brochure. And he was all excited about this brochure that he had for me. Well, Pastor, look, I brought this religious brochure. Guess where it was from? The Watchtower. He was all excited, though, Jehovah's Witnesses. All excited, look at this, I'm reading this, this is really good stuff. What do you think, Pastor? What do you think? He's trying to get me to like him and give him money. What did I say? Give me that. Rip. This is heresy. Don't read this. Don't go to this church. They don't believe in the Trinity. They don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Don't go. Stay away. And he said to me, I just didn't know. I just didn't know. And I said, that's okay. Now you do know. Come to our church. Come learn about the true God, not the God of Jehovah's Witnesses who worship a false God. And I suggest there are many, many people that you know who would also say, I just don't know. I just don't know who the true God is. I don't know what my God's done for me. I just don't know. Teach me. Tell me. Put them on the right path. Tell someone. Show someone. Because a lot of people simply don't know. You know. Tell them. What will you do with the Word of God, First Lutheran? What are you doing with the Word of God? The Word of God must be heard. Must be upon our hearts, in our homes, on our hands, on our heads. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen.